Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Oh, the hater's coming out, Kale.
Mustard.
Good, bring it. I'm here until well past 10 o'clock today. I've got bonus time for you.
No Lib says, this is how naive you are, Greg. You don't think Iran couldn't find a citizen to enter this country with a suitcase nuclear bomb in this country? Yeah, of course.
Of course. Sure they could.
But these are the same, it's the same people, it's the same things that I've heard when in 2003 in the lead up to Iraq. You don't know the mustard gas and the Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein, you know what I mean? Like that, it's 2023 all over.
Yeah.
It's 2003 all over again. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I guess what happens when you cry wolf?
So who was the guy on YouTube that said that? No Libs?
Yes.
So I guess he's a fan of Donald Rumsfeld, Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, right? Well, you like those old that lied to you about WMD, Bush Jr. could finish the job, his old man couldn't.
I don't know if that's the case. All I'm saying is that as Anna just said, like we need to be skeptical because it's not like the government or other governments haven't lied to us before.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what they do. It's kind of what they do.
My big concern is the powder keg that is brewing here already, because now we have the perfect storm. We have L.A. riots with nut jobs attacking ICE officers, FBI agents, state troopers, LAPD officers. Then we get a California senator who wants to think he's above the law. And now we have Israel striking Iran. So you're going to have like three different sorts of protests over these next couple of weeks, which, by the way, if I'm in the LGBT community, Anna, I'm a little pissed off, right? This is my month. This is Pride Month, right? Love who you want to love. Everybody get along. And all we have is World War XII.
I know. All you can hope for is bad weather at this point. Either whether it be thunderstorms in Philly and D.C. and hurricanes down here.
Yep.
That's the only way to quell the violence.
I just all I'm saying is that we need to be skeptical about these things.
Of course.
And, you know, I don't love the fact that, like, look, if Israel wants to do this on their own, fine. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, my concern is the fingerprints. I mean, Iran is basically saying, like, we know the United States is behind all of this. So that's my concern.
Mm-hmm.
They do call Israel little Satan and the U.S. big Satan. So
I'm just
it's like big brothers, big sisters,
right.
I guess.
Well, let's get a statement. He used to be called little Marco Rubio, but now he's Secretary of State Marco Rubio.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Who said last night, tonight Israel took unilateral action against Iran. We are not involved in strikes against Iran, and our top priority is protecting American forces in the region. Israel advised us that they believe this action was necessary for its self-defense. President Trump and the administration have taken all necessary steps to protect our forces and remain in close contact with our regional partners. Let me be clear, Iran should not target U.S. interests or personnel.
And my fear, too, is that, you know, the people who love war are super excited about this.
Of course they are.
The Lindsey Grahams, you know, like, you know, his
cash cow.
His shorts are rising right now because he loves this. I've never seen a human being that loves war as much as this guy is. For a guy who's never fought in his entire life, who doesn't have kids that would go over and fight, he sure does love sending other people's kids to go die.
That guy couldn't punch his way out of a paper bag. And he literally gets a hard on for missiles and WMDs and tanks and airborne infantry divisions. Oh, he loves himself some more. He's the kind of guy. You know, I was thinking about this last night. I watched a few nights ago. I was up. This was, I think, last Saturday. I couldn't fall asleep. Flipping through the channels, you remember the movie that was somewhat partially filmed in Philadelphia with Mark Wahlberg, Shooter? Do you guys remember Shooter? It was about 15, 20 years ago, where it was him, Danny Glover, and a bunch of other big actors. And I remember he, towards the end, if you saw the movie, Mark Wahlberg shot and killed a senator who was corrupt in his log cabin. And I was thinking about this from a movie standpoint. Again, I don't wish any ill will towards Lindsey Graham. But Lindsey Graham's the kind of like senator that is corrupt, that you can't stand, that if he was in a movie, you'd be rooting for the good guy to put one right between his eyes because he's just a slime ball. It's like, it's actually hard to believe there could be somebody more dislikable than Gavin Newsom. But Lindsey Graham is that guy, right?
And you pointed it out earlier, Nick, where like both sides hate him. Like that's hard to do.
Sean Farish claims that Lindsey Graham sits when he pees.
Phil, can you pull cut 27 here? This is a Fox News report saying exactly what I said about Iran making the statement about Israel attacking them. Roll this.
Back in. Meantime, as Brett was saying, we now have a statement. This is Reuters. This is the IRGC statement. It says, quoting here, Israel will pay a heavy price for its attack on Iran, which killed Revolutionary Guard top commander Hossein Salami. The guard said in a statement on Friday, warning of a decisive retaliation against its sworn enemies. The Israeli attack was carried out with full knowledge and support of the wicked rulers in the White House and the terrorist U.S. regime, the guard said. Statement said. So clearly they are not focusing just on Israel. They are focusing on Washington, on the United States, which brings us up to the next category is will they go after U.S. assets in the Middle East? We'll talk about that up next.
Yes, and Salami was one of the two that I mentioned that was taken out. And I look, if Iran doesn't come to the table and accept Trump's deal, I think pepperoni could be the next one taken out.
I will rip.
He loves that.
I will rip that drum away from you. Stop.
Let me read Trump's post on Truth, and then we'll get to the news here. Trump said this morning, I gave Iran chance after chance to make a deal. I told them in the strongest of words to, quote, just do it. But no matter how hard they tried, no matter how close they got, they just couldn't get it done. I told them it would be much worse than anything they know, anticipated, or were told, that the United States makes the best and most lethal military equipment in the world by far, and that Israel has a lot of it, with which more to come, and they know how to use it. Certain Iranian hardliners spoke bravely, but they didn't know what was about to happen. They are all dead now, and it will only get worse. There has already been great death and destruction, but there is still time to make this slaughter, with the next already planned attacks being even more brutal, come to an end. Iran must have a deal before there is nothing left, and save what was once known as the Iranian Empire. No more death, no more destruction, just do it before it is too late. That almost sounds like, to your point, Greg, earlier about, you know, this administration having some of their handprints all over this with Israel and Iran believing that. I mean, you have to believe that Trump knows what Bibi has planned, right? Like,
you would think
they're partners, they're close allies.
You would think, but again, I don't know if Trump can stop Bibi from doing
this.
No,
you're right.
Like if Trump was like, I don't know if you should do this, you know what I mean? Like, or hey, if you're doing this, you're going at it alone. You know what I mean? Those words could have been said, but how does Iran view it? You know, that's the problem. And word is that they took out in that bombing, they took out all of like their top generals and everything like that. So And like the scientists that are allegedly supposedly making this nuclear weapon.
Yep.
So, I don't know what to believe.
Right.
That's the problem, is that we've been lied to so many times.
Sure.
That right. It's only
you doubt everything.
Yes, exactly. Like we're skeptical because we've been lied to, you know, I don't know.
I really don't think that, and I hope I'm not wrong about this, but I don't think that Iran poses a threat to the U.S. military.
Oh, agreed.
Badass. I mean, it's not going to. And also, there's like a giant ocean between us,
yeah,
which is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that there's anything to worry about there. I do think that Trump probably knew that this was coming. And it would be fantastic if even if Iran wanted to respond, and clearly they have, but they don't have the capabilities to do anybody any harm, then, you know, that wouldn't even matter.
Yep.
If they responded, if
right.
they didn't have the capability to nuke the people around them.
Yep.
Nolib on YouTube now is just fighting with me. He says Israel doesn't need our military help. Yeah, because we because we fund them. Yes, we created their military. We fund it.
Yeah,
they don't need our help because we're like here's a ton of stuff.
Yeah, without the United States, Israel will be toast.
Come on, man!
Surrounded by all those other nations,
God,
yeah,
full of terrorists. That's my concern. Iran against the United States, military versus military. No, it's no contest. My concern is terrorism funded from Iran with terrorists already in the United States that carry out attacks against innocent American civilians or Jewish citizens of the United States. Because, you know, these protesters, these pro-Hamas nut jobs, they're going to be back out again in the next couple of days. You could take it to the bank after what happened last night, from the river to the sea. It's all the same. Doesn't matter if it's Iran, Gaza, Syria, Iraq, Al-Qaeda, the Taliban. It doesn't matter. It's all the same with the same end goal.
The problem is, too, is that you're going to get this false equivalency of... And I went through it in 2003, where if I didn't support the Iraq war, it was like, you're against the troops. Right, you hate America. Right. You must hate America. Now it's going to be the same. Like, you must be anti-Semitic. You're anti-Israel. Like, that is absolutely not the case at all. Like, I support Israel 1,000,000,000%. All I'm saying is that just because, you know, this is their fight doesn't mean we have to get into it.
Yep.
No,
it doesn't. You know,
and the distinction should be made for sure that you can criticize a nation that has a government and a military and what they're doing, and not point and go, oh, you're an anti-Semite.
Yeah.
I really think people need to stop doing that because it's not doing anybody any favors.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, it's like with the Me Too movement. If someone looks at you the wrong way, it's like you're part of the problem. You're a harasser. You're an assaulter. It's like you're really doing a disservice to the people that actually are assaulted or the people that actually are anti-Semitic and hate Jews.
Yep.
If everybody is a Nazi, then nobody is a Nazi. So we need to stop doing that.
That's the problem. That's the problem is that the left has decided that Trump's a Nazi and this person's a Nazi, Stephen Miller's a Nazi. Everybody's a Nazi now. So now, like, this anti-Semitic thing is kind of – it's easy to say because everybody's a Nazi. Mm-hmm. Everybody's Hitler.
Yep.
So, like, it's like you're anti-Semitic. No, you're anti-Semitic. No, everybody is apparently.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait for the Trump blame game today on The View. They'll blame Trump for Israel striking Iran. They'll blame Trump for the LA riots. Mm-hmm. They're going to blame Trump for everything. He's spending money on a military parade. He's saluting the army. Oh, my God. If it rains today, it will be Donald Trump's fault. 855-839-1210. All right. We were supposed to get to news, but we did a little more on Israel. We have time?
We can do news here.
All right. Let's get to round number two of the news. Anna, take it away.
Absolutely. In the 7 a.m. hour, Josh Shapiro says he will stand up to Trump if he sends troops to Philly.
Okay.
Your boy Josh.
Joshy
from Abington.
Josh Shapiro has been paying attention to what is happening in California, and he said that he won't let things play out the same way in the Keystone State concerning the protests. Pennsylvania's governor sat down for an interview with the Washington Post on Wednesday and said that he will be ready if President Donald Trump attempts to send the military into Philadelphia, as he has done in Los Angeles. Quote, he's injected chaos into the world order. He's injected it into our economy. He's trying to inject chaos into our streets by doing what he did with the guard in California. As state attorney general during Trump's first term, Shapiro routinely boasted that he sued Trump over 40 times and each time he won. As governor, he has often treaded more carefully by bashing Trump's tariffs, but not necessarily targeting Trump himself.
Here's what you do, Josh. You saw the way Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass failed to secure the perimeter, so to speak. Don't make the same mistake. If people get out of control and it goes from a mostly peaceful protest to rioting and looting and all this nonsense, then you should handle your business so Trump doesn't have to send in anybody else, whether it's National Guard, whether it's Marines, whether it's anybody under the sun. Take control of your state. Don't let it become California. Just a bit of advice.
Yes. Philly's largest city union puts leaders on notice amid threat to strike. The largest union in Philadelphia, comprised of members who handle 911 calls, collect trash, and more, is giving city leaders 2 weeks to reach what they say is a fair wage and better working conditions, or they will strike, having already authorized a strike vote. Quote, for many years, our members have been underpaid and undervalued, but we're the essential ones who make sure everything is done, District Council President Greg Boulware Barr said. District Council 33 represents over 9,000 members. The union says those men and women keep the water flowing, make sure the airport runways are repaired and safe, handle 911 calls, and haul trash. Without them, the union president says the city won't be able to operate. Quote, we touch every aspect of the city from one end of the city to another. Our members are paid the bottom 25% for municipal workers in the country. That's sad. We're the sixth largest city in the country.
It is kind of ridiculous that some of these people are paid as poorly as they are, considering how expensive it is to live in this area.
Absolutely. I'll kind of end it on a high note. I wonder if you guys agree with this. Majority of Philly residents say city headed in the right direction. It was a slim majority margin, but
slim, yes.
A lot of Sherelle fans out there. That's our
great majority
mayor.
Of Philadelphia residents, 59%, say they think the city is headed in the right direction, a dramatic improvement from 2022 when 36% said they approved of the city's direction, according to a survey done by the Pew Charitable Trust. The survey also found that 64% of Philadelphia residents approve of the job mayor, is it Sherelle?
Or Sherelle Parker, yeah.
Sherelle Parker, that's what I thought, is doing since she took office in 2024, with her support highest in North, Northeast, and West Philadelphia. So, Katie Martin.
So Sherelle Parker, 60, so two-thirds of the city officially identify as stupid.
I guess so.
Oh. Sherelle Parker, huh? Well, the bar was not hard to eclipse, right, with Jim Kenney. Would you say it was 36% in 2022? Is that what you just reported? 36% was the number?
Oh, yes. Sorry, I thought you were talking to Greg. Yes, 36% in 2022. Yep.
Gotcha. All right.
Exactly. And that's Kale and Company News Live for the 7 a.m. hour.
All right, Anna, thank you very much. Philly weather, it's 77 going up to 90 today. Father's Day weekend, 70s and rainy. We're going to have some of those pop-up storms, those Floridian showers later today. We'll call that the Hummel front as she brings more.
I like that.
A Hummel front fast approaching the Delaware Valley. 855-839-1210. All right, Farish, in about 25 minutes, we'll get to the cut sheet with him. A lot of the big stories in the books, we'll round back to that, obviously, with the cut sheet. But up next, John Fetterman and our beards dirty.
Yes.
They're two separate stories. Yeah. Actually, if you look at Fetterman, he kind of looks dirty as well.
Yeah, he does.
But we'll talk about it. Yeah. Scale and Company, Anna in for Dawn. We're back after this.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, it's a Friday morning. A fairish Friday, as Sean will join us from Tennessee in under 20 minutes. Nikhail, Anna Hummel's in for Dawn, Stensland, Greg Stocker, Phil Omquist, Jimmy Kelly. We will also have Fight Club coming up at 9:10 because fights equal ratings. And also, thanks for the email last night that Phil sent out, a good reminder for me. We will be wrapping up 2 weeks worth of voting for Fight Club today.
It's basically all of June. It starts June 2nd, and we have 2 weeks worth of fights, so we will get to that starting at 9:10. So make sure you're over on YouTube, youtube.com/@1210WPHT, where you can see all of our pretty faces, but especially Anna's, not so much Kale and I.
Oh, thank you.
youtube.com/@1210WPHT. Please make sure you're hitting the like and subscribe buttons.
Yes.
While you're there. Really important to do that, so please, thank you.
Yep. You can see Anna in the middle, and then the guys with beards on the left and the right. Box one and box three.
Disgusting, filthy beards.
Low energy beards.
Let's talk about this beard story. We got to get to Fetterman as well. And by the way, like as far as beards go, you have to commit to it, right? Like if you can grow it, and stick with it. See, Stocker can grow the beard, but he's beard bipolar, and then he just gets rid of it randomly.
It's very low energy. Mine's really low energy because I'm blonde, so like it just grows in not super well, so it takes a while.
But
then I shave it.
Like, you're not patchy though. Like you.
No,
I
know.
As long
as it
connects, you're good.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't love it.
So. Yeah, I see these guys like I'm watching the U.S. Open yesterday. Scottie Scheffler, he's got a no beard one day, and then a 5 o'clock shadow. Then it's full, and then he gets rid of it again. Like I keep it. I have beard consistency here, Hummel.
Well, the problem is with you, and it's true with most bald guys, is that like you feel like you need some sort of hair on your head,
right?
So you have to grow a beard because you have none on your head.
Correct. My daughters say when I shave my beard, which I do twice a year, I completely wipe it off all the way down with a straight blade, completely smooth. My daughters say I look like a donut.
Unfortunately, what is that for? Does that help with like hair regrowth or like it up? Or?
No, I do it. You know, I do it in the slow days of the winter when it's dark at 4:48 p.m. And then I do it again late in the summer when it's really, really hot. So like about 6 weeks from now, I'll wipe it off and it'll come back. You know,
Anna, does your boyfriend have a beard?
Yeah, I wouldn't say like he's got facial hair. I don't know. It feels weird to say like a beard because when I think of a beard, I think something that's like, you know, inches away from your face.
Is it weird, because this happens in my house sometimes, is it weird, like, kissing with a beard because it's, like, rough on the face? You know what I mean?
No. No, I mean, I like it.
You like it?
I think because it's, like, a masculine quality.
I have a
beard. Sorry, that was a Starbucks barista. That was misgendered.
How can you call me a man? I have a full mustache and beard.
So Anna found this story from one of our favorite sites, studyfinds.org. How dirty are beards?
Legit scientific journal, please.
They say the truth may surprise you. Oh, this is a great site. We've used this before. Stalker finds some of these stories on here. They say that beards have long attracted suspicion, sometimes seen as stylish, sometimes as unsanitary. But how dirty are they really? And they go on to write, human skin is home to billions of microorganisms, mainly bacteria, but also fungi and viruses. And facial hair provides a unique environment for them to thrive. Research shows that beards in particular support a dense and diverse microbial population, which has fueled a persistent belief that they are inherently unhygienic. The Washington Post, go figure, the Washington Post would write something anti-beard, recently reported that some toilets actually contain fewer germs than the average man beard. Can you believe that?
They compare the toilet to everything. Like, your hands are dirtier than a toilet. Your mouth is dirtier than a toilet.
Their readership is in the toilet. Theoretically,
your butt cheeks should be, like, clean, right? Because, like you have pants and underwear on, so, like...
Right.
But you, like, sweat.
And if you use dude wipes, right? Then you should be really clean.
I don't mean that. I just mean, like, the outside.
Right.
So you're sitting on something relatively clean.
Right, unless you have swamp ass. Which is a rough
I mean,
rough
I think the
experience.
Way that... I don't know how, like, gas from butt works, but I feel like it... No. Is airborne. You know what I mean?
Come over to my house on Taco Tuesday. You'll understand everything about gas. So they go to say, but are beards truly a hygiene risk? A closer look at the evidence reveals a nuanced picture. The microbial population on skin varies by location, and it's influenced by factors such as temperature, pH levels, humidity, and nutrient availability. Beards create a warm, often moist environment where food debris and oils can accumulate. That's the other thing. This is the beautiful thing about a beard. You have dinner. You're done eating. 2 hours later, you realize you have a little guac in your beard. A little snack.
It's a flavor saver.
It's a flavor saver.
That's what I was going to say earlier.
You don't even have to get up and go to the fridge. I am absolutely pro beard.
I forgot I had this.
Yes.
That's sick.
It is sick.
Now, but I understand that it happens.
Yeah.
I actually got into a little back and forth with a guy that I used to work with in Tennessee. His argument was, and he's pro beard as well, but he says if you can grow a beard and as you start to age, you can't dye your beard. Now, I'll admit, full disclosure, I use a little bit of touch up here. On the chin.
Oh, boy.
Because the salt and pepper were starting to come in.
Salt and pepper looks good, though.
And I'm not against it. I am temporarily unwilling to accept my slow decline towards death.
Well, that's been happening since day one for all of us. So.
Yeah, it's true. Yes. It's true.
No, I think salt and pepper is a vibe. I think it's a good look for most men. Yeah, it's a good look. Unless, like, maybe you're 21. then, you know, and you're then, like graying and yeah, balding, but
then maybe you have an issue.
Yeah, but at 41, like that should be embraced.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you, Kale. Like, embrace it, dude.
See,
it's different for men and women. Yeah, women, agreed, need to, yes, get rid of their gray whiskers, right, and their gray hairs.
Do you think? You know, I kind of like you know, just let it go natural. What's wrong with that?
Can you tell? Can you notice it that I do a little touch up there and there?
Phil, can you put it on Nick and can you zoom in?
Come close to me.
Are you able to zoom in? I don't think we're
a little closer.
I don't think we can zoom in.
You want me to get on the table and just walk up to the?
We have 1997 technology with our cameras. So
no, my thing was, so I started losing my hair and I had it receding hairline at 24.
Okay.
Coincidentally, the same year I got married. Just genetics, by the way. And I was cool with that because my dad was bald and my grandfather was bald. So all the male Kales, they lose their hair and they drop dead by 60.
He's not lying.
So appreciate me while I'm here, folks, okay? Yeah. Because I won't see 75.
Both his parents are dead. Yep. Like he has, like,
oh,
he has.
Oh, God,
like,
Greg. Why do you say like that?
Well, no, it's true.
No, I know it's true. I know. It just seems brash.
Talk about it on the air.
Yeah. Oh, we're brashier.
Yeah.
You know,
life's an open book. Your everything I do is content.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
then when we started doing this show, another coincidence, talking about Democrats all day, my beard started to get a little gray. And I was like, all right, well, we're on YouTube now. So I was like, all right, I'm not like Dawn where I'm doing my makeup every second of the day, but I should color in my chin just a little bit. Now, there will come a point probably in the next, by the time I reach 44 or 45, I'll probably just let it go. But I don't have any gray here or here. It's just, I feel like David Spade and Tommy, not so much here, but right, like right here.
Yeah, that's a good, you should keep that. There's no need to touch up. Like, what? Touch up? Come on, dude.
Well, I mean, I guess also do whatever makes you feel pretty, Nick.
It's not about pretty, because you can't you can't put lipstick on a pig and change it from a pig. A pig's a pig, no matter how much lipstick you put on.
I don't know. Have you seen some girls on Instagram without makeup? Well, I mean, you can put a filter on that, and people will have sex with it. So.
And if you can't get a ring on it, you put a filter on it.
You, in fact, can put lipstick on a pig.
So. EKZ on the YouTube chat, 100%. Alpha men, keep it natural. Exactly. So,
all right.
I think we're considering you beta.
It might be a beta moment for me. See, everybody has that opportunity to wiggle in a little beta from time to time.
You're not the one, Kale. Forgive me. I've worked with so many people. You're not the one. You're not the one who gets pedicures, right? Or do you?
I'm not against it. Okay. I've had one before.
Yeah.
I've had a pedicure.
Nice.
I've had a
They're
manicure.
Really
no,
nice.
No,
they feel great.
I mean, Anna, you get as many pedicures as you want,
right?
But not Nick. No,
have you
guys,
ever had one?
No,
though?
Guys cannot be getting pedicures.
Or just like a foot rub?
That's just no.
Oh, it's great.
No, just no. No,
I also love when they sand down like the little bit of a callus you might have.
Oh,
on your
you're not you can't comment on masculinity anymore, Kale. I'm sorry, you're out.
I've lost my card.
Yeah,
can I get it back after Father's Day? Will my daughters give me a new one on Sunday? Stay tuned. 855-839-1210.
Yeah, no, you pedicures. Okay, MM wants us to put up a poll. Okay, put up a poll. This is for men only. Well, I guess women can vote
in on whether it's
okay for men.
Cool.
Yes.
Men, not women.
Right. Yes, yeah.
Men to get a pedicure. Phil, put that up on YouTube. YouTube.com/@1210WPHD. You can go vote on that.
You got to get one of those really, really, really good high-end places where, you know, you put the feet in the little tub and it's warm and it's vibrating bubbling.
It
and then they come
really
in
nice
with the loofah and then the gel. And the
Do you
soap.
Sit when you pee, too?
If I've had too much to drink and it's late at night and I can't find the switch, yes. Especially if your leg falls asleep, you don't want to topple over.
Is it okay to is it okay for men to get a pedicure? Yes or no? I'm going to put no. Wow. Yeses are winning right now. 57%.
Yeah. It's pleasure. It's what feels good. Mm. It's a massage. Mm. It's all it is.
Hey,
does it depend on the man getting the pedicure? Because, like, if Jocko Willink was getting a pedicure, I don't think anyone's going to be like, you're a beta.
It's a good point.
The bigger question should be, is it okay as a man to get a pedicure and let another man do your feet? Because if you go to any of the Asian places, sometimes you have a guy there.
There's a rogue man that works at every single one.
Correct.
Yes.
I'm against that.
I was going to get a massage one time down at the Borgata in Atlantic City, and I decided not to do it. But they were like, this is John. He'll be like, nope.
Yeah, no.
No, thank you.
No, I want a chick every time.
Yeah, no, I don't want some dude like...
Right.
You seem tense. I'm like, oh, okay. All right, buddy.
Are you worried you'll get a George Costanza moment?
It moved.
Hey, John, with all due respect, two booths down, Lindsey Graham's ready for you.
Exactly. Let's get on over to YouTube and vote. Wow, 60% right now. Say yes.
Yep.
Okay.
What a progressive audience.
And 90% of that 40% that say no are lying. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. We'll save the John Fetterman story for a little bit later in the show. Sean Farish is going to join us next for another edition of The Cut Sheet, and that will happen in just a few minutes. But first, a word from our friends at Piazza Honda, because it's an exciting time for my friends at the Piazza Auto Group and their flagship brand Honda with all five of their dealerships, because Honda has won more 2025 Kelley Blue Book Consumer Choice Awards than any brand on the planet, including Best Overall Brand, Most Trusted Brand, and Best Value Brand. Whether you're eyeing the Accord, the CR-V, or the Pilot, which is their gorgeous full-size SUV, you are choosing a vehicle backed by real drivers just like me, just like yourself. Come experience the award-winning excellence at Piazza Honda. Five locations: Philadelphia, Langhorne, Pottstown, Reading, or Springfield. Shop online at PiazzaHonda.com for today's special offer.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Offers. It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
It is Kale and Company on a Friday. Sean Farish joining us from Nashville, Tennessee, as we go full quad box.
Quad box.
On YouTube. And since Sean also sports a beard, for the next 2 hours and 35 minutes, the show is no longer Kale and Company. It's three beards and a Hummel. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Oh, we're doing well. Obviously, last night, quite eventful with the attack on Iran. That looks like Israel carried out a pretty precise attack out there. And as long as we don't say, you know, as long as we stay out of it, get them.
Yeah.
Take them all out. That's fine. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I have no problem with that.
Have you been tweeted and told by people that don't know you that are you being paid to tweet is pro-Israeli propaganda?
Well, it's funny. I'm getting it on both sides because I say, you know, I said that. The United States should stay out, so I've been called really nasty names because they think I don't support Israel. And then when I say that I do support Israel, so I'm a Qatari shill, an Israeli shill. Thomas Massey thinks I'm paid to post now, that guy. So
wow.
He blocked me the other day because Whoa. I saw that he
Thomas which Massey is against, blocked which, you?
Yeah, which is against the First Amendment, so you know, he's really principled. But he... Because there was a report that came out that he voted against the rule that was going Doge cut to come to the floor the following day. So all I posted was, did Thomas Massey really vote against a rule that would prevent a vote on Doge cuts? Is that what am I reading this correctly? And he jumped into my mentions and said, how much did you get paid to post this? Blocked me as soon as he put the reply in, so I couldn't respond. What a day. So he violated what's called the public forum doctrine. You don't have to be a constituent. And Mr. Principled showed his colors. So now everyone who yells at me and says, you're making Thomas Massey the enemy. I never once did that, but he decided he wanted to play a game, so that's that.
Stay out of Kentucky now, brother. You're not welcome anymore.
I'm fine with that. That's okay. They can have Mitch McConnell. And the only one I still remotely like is Rand Paul.
There you go. 747. Let's see what Stocker has for the last cut sheet of the week.
What?
Yep.
On the cut sheet.
What's the cut sheet? On this Friday, sponsored by Staples. How many times have we all said, well, that was easy. The Staples easy button is back, and it's got us saying it again for custom print, shipping services, even passport photos, plus quality products delivered next day to over 98% of the U.S. Staples, that was easy. Thank you, Staples, for being a long and loving sponsor of What's on the Cut Sheet. We've kind of been debating this since about 6:50 this morning, Sean, so I want to get your take on it. This is a former Israel prime minister on the strike against Iran on with Anderson Cooper last night. And he said that Iran is a week away from being able to obtain enriched uranium for 10 bombs. Roll this.
Yeah, I want to bring in Naftali Bennett, former prime minister of Israel. He joins us by phone. Mr. Prime Minister, appreciate you joining us. What's your reaction to the news? What information do you know?
Well, the Israelis had a siren across the country indicating that Israel's Air Force is conducting a preemptive strike against Iran's military facilities and perhaps also the nuclear facilities. I want to remind you that Iran's about a week away from being able to obtain the amount of enriched uranium for 10 bombs. So this is not me saying this. This is the international nuclear community. And the goal ultimately will be to remove the nuclear threat from the Middle East and hitting the head of the octopus of terror that's been causing all of the mess we've seen over the past couple of years in the region.
Removing... Sean Farish, I'm curious your thoughts. Anna and I and Greg have been talking about it most of the morning. Just know that Lindsey Graham tweeted last night, game on, because he was very, very excited. He was fully aroused that we could have war.
Yeah, well, we all know what Lindsey Graham was doing last night when this happened. Right? You know?
Sitting on a piece.
He looked like Jeffrey's Toobin on a Zoom call. Let's leave it at that. Right? I don't have a problem with Iran, with Israel going into Iran and taking out their nuclear facilities. I think the world can agree, except for like really crazy people, that they should not have a nuke. These are not stable people in Iran, so I don't want them to have a nuclear weapon. We were on the path to having a non-nuclear Iran in Donald Trump's first term. And then Joe Biden came in and reversed everything, gave them $6 billion on the 22nd anniversary of September 11th in 2023. They shortly attacked Israel right after that. If they were getting close to enriching enough uranium for 10 atom bombs or 9 atomic bombs, whatever the number is, that's a problem. Now, I always say I'd like to believe there's a better way to do it than war. I don't think this is necessarily quote-unquote war, right? These were very precise strikes that Israel carried out. Obviously, Iran is going to interpret them as an act of war because it was, you know, attacks on their military leadership on their soil. But again, I am totally supportive of Israel going into Iran, attacking their nuclear sites. Do as little as you can in terms of civilian casualties. You want to take out their top military brass? I don't have an issue with that. I just want the United States to remain firmly on the sidelines. The only assistance that I would provide to Israel in this case would be weapons sales, right? You want to buy weapons from us, by all means, you can take them. I don't want any freebies, massive aid packages. I don't want this to turn into a second Ukraine, and I certainly don't want to put American boots on the ground.
Let me ask you a question. This is a thing I posited this morning, and obviously I don't know, but we've gone down this path before with WMDs in Iraq in 2003, and they lied us into war. I just worry that this reeks of, well, they're 10 days away from nuclear capabilities. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, to your point that you said in 2017, I feel like they've been 10 days away for almost 10 years now. So, like, yeah. I'm just a little worried that there's more going on here than just 10 days away, and we have to strike now. I don't know.
It could be, and there was a headline I saw somebody posted on X from 1995 that said they were 10 days away. So they've been 10 days away for 20 years, right? So that's – but how much of that is a result of setbacks and leadership changes and all of this? You know, it's – I don't – number one, I don't want to get involved. We didn't cause the strike, right? So it's not like the United States came through intel communities like Iraq – 2003, they've got weapons of mass destruction, and we have to go in now. This was another country who did it, right? This was another. Now, did they use our weapons? Sure, because they purchase a lot of weapons from us. Was there coordination between American intelligence and Israeli intelligence? I think Trump admitted that this morning on Truth Social. So in terms of, you know, Iran is going to probably look at that and say, well, you guys were involved. Well, you know what? The minute they strike one of our military bases or lay a finger on American soldiers, I don't want to say we need to, you know, invade Iran, but I think a response that would be commensurate with when we took out Soleimani would be appropriate. Find one of their generals, you know, out in the open and drop a Moab on them or something like that, right? You know, and he died like a dog, right? We've done this before. We've done it before. You will look like Soleimani or al-Baghdadi, who died like a dog. You know, I'm happy. Look, I'm happy that Israel, at least, and I'm happy that all of this has taken place while Trump was president. Because if that corpse that we had to deal with for the last 4 years was in the Oval Office right now, I'd be digging a hole underground with the hard hat on, saying, you know, we got to get ready for the worst case scenario.
You'd be digging in underneath your fire ants in your backyard.
Oh, by the way, speaking of precision strikes, they're all dead. They've been dead for 2 weeks.
He drummed the fire ants.
No, look, I'll tell you, everyone on X, you'll never get rid of them. Where are they? Because tell you what, they're all gone. Yeah. They're like, they're going to pop up again. I'm like, let them.
If you have not seen this, you've got to go up on Sean's social media feed on X and watch the video of him taking the fight to fire ants.
Dude, it was bad. That's how you know a slow news cycle, right? It was that and like explaining. It was explaining what a rescissions package is.
Sean, while we have you, we all weighed in on this earlier. It's a poll up on YouTube. If you have not voted, youtube.com/at1210WPHD. Go over there. You can see all our pretty faces. Is it okay for men to get a pedicure? Yes or no?
No way.
Ah, thank
all
you.
All right, let me explain something, by the way, where this comes from. Yeah. Not only I'm going to take this a step further. Not only is it not okay for men to get a pedicure. I think feet as a whole need to be banned. Everybody needs to have their feet removed and replaced with spatulas. Because I'll tell you what. Because I, for one, am tired of seeing everybody's toes out in the summer. Yeah. They're all gross. There is no such thing as a nice foot.
Sean, okay? Sean, look at Cal. Look at that.
Yeah, great. That's a gross toe. You're going to tell me that's an attractive toe?
No, it's not.
It's not a gross toe. That's a disgusting thing. If we replace feet with spatulas, there'll be no more stubbed toes. There will be no more smells, right?
Yeah.
We'll be fine.
Yes.
There are so many other species on this earth that live without feet, like fish. Okay, all right, they don't need feet. We don't need them. We don't need them, and I don't want them.
Yeah.
And if you have them, that gives that leaves the possibility out that I'm going to see them in public. I don't like feet. I'm not Rex Ryan, right? No, I don't like them.
Yeah.
So all of them should be gone.
Yeah.
That's it.
Amen.
And it'd be a much much better world.
Is it because
and
all then those people be no need pedicures to make their feet a little less grotesque?
No. You know what they need? Amputations. That's what they need.
Oh, okay.
Ferris wants the drone strike feet.
Anna, you're
yes, I do.
Your thoughts on men in flip flops? I mean, you live in Florida, so I'm sure there's a lot of dudes in flip flops because it's hot.
It's year round, right?
And socks and slides. I don't know what has taken over this nation in the last 5 years, but I see everyone wearing socks and slides. Parents, children,
hide your feet.
I just think it's such a sloppy look.
Yeah.
Well, offense.
Crocs. Yeah, if you wear Crocs as an adult, we need to have a conversation.
The Crocs
that's another
not
thing.
Great, but socks and slides even worse.
Yeah.
How about this? How about this? If there were no feet, there would be no need for Crocs.
Thank you. I like Sean. I can get behind your anti-feet.
There's no reason for them. They're the most. Platform, yeah. They are the most unnecessary part of our body.
Yes, agreed.
I don't think
I've been advocating for years that we should just get rid of our teeth and replace them with wood. Teeth are pointless. Teeth are just an unnecessary expense and agonizing pain. We should just replace all of our teeth when they fall out as children with fake teeth. Be good to go.
I will give you. I will give you teeth if you give me feet. We have a deal.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we can work on that.
Gavin Newsom yesterday, of course, because there's cameras, so he had to hold a press conference. So what's the deal now? There's a hold on the National Guard in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Another job.
No. This is great. This is fantastic.
Okay.
So some hack judge Breyer or whatever, yes, appointed by Clinton.
Yep.
Said that Donald Trump had to return, yes, the control of National Guard to Newsom.
Mm-hmm.
Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals late last night told him to shove it. And so that ruling has been stayed.
Wow.
And they're going to be having a Zoom hearing. The appeals panel will be having a Zoom hearing June 17th.
Well, according to this was earlier in the evening. Newsom said Donald Trump will be relieved of his command over the National Guard on noon today, actually. So in like 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Joke's on him.
Roll this.
Location for training exercises. But there's the bottom line. The police do policing. Military, it's for the battlefield. You know, the idea that these unbelievably brave young men and women that I work with, that we have had the benefit of their extraordinary contribution all across this state. I gave you three examples. What more evidence do we need of the work they did during the wildfires in Los Angeles and all the work they did to secure locations and keep property and personal lives safe over the course of the last few months? These folks are now being commandeered to do ICE raids. You've seen the photographs. That ends tomorrow at noon. And the notion that the United States active duty Marines, these heroes, would be used to militarize the streets of an American city is an abomination. Founding fathers did not live and die to see that happen in this country for no reason whatsoever than vanity.
Vanity.
Theater.
Theater.
To instill fear.
Like Alex Padilla.
To incite a response. So I'm very hopeful this order puts that in perspective. And hopefully Donald Trump will immediately back down. The courts have ruled on the guard.
Uh-oh.
It will be back under my command, and he'll be relieved. Donald Trump will be relieved of his command at noon tomorrow.
Not so fast. And
duty.
Yeah, speaking of being relieved of duties, Gavin is going to be relieved of his gubernatorial duties coming up very shortly. But here's the thing, too. Now, Sean, maybe I've misinterpreted the law here, but I thought I read last night that even if, and I know that we had that late reversal with that circuit judge, but even if they ruled in favor of Gavin Newsom and the National Guard had to go, Trump could still send in Marines, and there would be no appellate process for that, correct? A governor can't appeal that?
That is correct. Okay. So the way that Donald Trump was able to bring the National Guard in is through Title 10, right? And the language is very clear in Title 10. There are three criteria that gives the President of the United States essentially unilateral authority to federalize the National Guard. Number one is if any of the commonwealths or possessions of the United States are invaded or in danger of invasion by a foreign nation. Now, a lot of people will interpret the illegal aliens as that, but that's not what this actually means. This is like a foreign country putting military on the streets. There is a rebellion or a danger of a rebellion against the authority of the government of the United States. And that's usually interpreted as an armed insurrection, not a riot. But number three is if the president is unable with the regular forces to execute the laws of the United States, meaning any federal assets on the ground, FBI, ICE, CBP, if they can't do their job and they are overwhelmed, it says here, the president may call into federal service members and units of the National Guard of any state in such numbers as he considers necessary to either repeal the invasion, suppress the rebellion, or execute those laws. Now, Gavin Newsom saying that the National Guard was conducting ICE raids is not true. They weren't conducting ICE raids. Under Title 10, and because of Posse Comitatus in 1878 was put in place because of Reconstruction during the Civil War, the U.S. military is not allowed. Any member of the U.S. or any function of the U.S. military cannot perform law enforcement activity on U.S. soil. So the National Guard was not allowed to conduct any law enforcement activity on U.S. soil because when the president federalizes them, they are then considered a part of the United States military. If Gavin Newsom had called up the National Guard under Title 32, they would have been able to conduct law enforcement activity because they'd be operating at the state level. Posse Comitatus doesn't apply. So basically, Donald Trump brought the National Guard in California under federal authority by federalizing them under Title 10. They are now at that point a part of the United States military. Even if, Nick, as you said, the National Guard was returned to control of Gavin Newsom and there was no administrative stay granted, which was granted, Trump could absolutely take other elements of the United States military, which is already federalized, and deploy them to Los Angeles to do this function only, which only all the National Guard was doing. Protect federal buildings, protect federal assets, and that's essentially it, and protect federal property, right, in Los Angeles. What that does is it allows the local police department, the state police departments, to go ahead and go into those riots instead of being preoccupied with protecting the courthouse. That's now what the National Guard is doing. The National Guard is not allowed to go on offense. The Marines are not allowed to go on offense in Los Angeles. Posse Comitatus applies. But if, let's say, one of these wild rioters comes up to one of them and starts swinging, they're allowed to use necessary force to defend themselves, okay? But Newsom saying that the National Guard was conducting ICE raids is false. That's not what was going on, right? ICE was conducting ICE raids. CBP was conducting ICE raids. The FBI, if they were on the ground, are allowed to do law enforcement activity. The Guard is not allowed to do that. The Guard wasn't doing that. The Guard was simply protecting federal buildings. All of it's lawful. This Judge Breyer that decided to give Newsom this temporary restraining order, I'm happy that he was overruled or that his order was stayed within hours of that garbage ruling coming down. It's gonna wind up looking real bad for Newsom at the end of the day.
Anna, do you ever want to vomit just watching or hearing Gavin Newsom?
Yeah, he reminds me of Christian Bale in American Psycho.
A lot of people say that, yeah.
Kind of gives me that vibe. I'm going to be saying Posse Comitatus for the rest of the day.
I know. I had some of that last night. It's good. Medium rare. Yeah.
It's delicious.
Yeah. A little soy sauce on the side a little bit. There you go. Ray is in Warminster. He's got some thoughts on Gavin Newsom. What's up, Ray?
Hey, listen, man, every time I hear that dude speak, I get relieved of duty, too. You know what I mean?
Duty, duty, duty.
Yeah, man. I love how they quote the founding fathers when they feel it necessary. But if we quote the founding fathers, we're like some racist bunch of lunatics. These guys are out of control. They don't care about this country. Let's be completely frank. They don't care about this country. They want to see this country destroyed, its values destroyed, and they're doing everything in their power to do that. These people are straight up communists. They're nothing but a bunch of scumbags.
Yeah. They just literally, Ray, they want to resist Trump at every single turn. It could be the most obvious common sense policy. You know, people throw around the phrase, you know, Trump could cure childhood cancer and they would find a way to resist that. But I don't think Gavin Newsom is on like this salvageable, you know, redemption tour. This guy, along with Karen Bass, has had the worst 6 months I can imagine you having as a governor or a mayor. Between these riots and then those wildfires, specifically Karen Bass, to be in a third world country when you were told that these wildfires were likely to happen is unforgivable. These two are, I think, politically, career-wise, they're dead. They're done.
Let's go down to, or no, actually, let's do one more from Newsom. We talked earlier, Anna and Sean, about the phone call that happened with Trump and Newsom.
Perfect phone call.
Trump, Newsom said there was never any call, there was no voicemail. So Trump went to John Roberts on Fox News and basically screenshotted the phone log and showed that he had.
I'm so mad he didn't leak his number.
So I would have had so much fun.
He had.
I would have had so much fun. Excuse me, Kevin.
He had a 16-minute conversation with him. So a reporter asked Newsom about this. He says, yeah, well, we talked Friday, but we never talked after that. And he never talked about the National Guard. And I can't reveal what the comments were because I respect the office and all that nonsense.
Oh, so they talked baseball.
31, go.
I spoke to him on Friday night. He had a mysterious conversation with me 3 days later. You can't even make this stuff up.
Attorneys for the government seem to read out that conversation. Do you have a readout?
Oh, I would love to share the readout, but I revere the Office of Presidency, so I'll keep it in confidence. He has quite literally made up components of that conversation. He's been a stone-cold liar about what he said we talked about. He never discussed the National Guard, period, full stop. I would love to share with you what he actually talked about. That would send shivers up your spine.
Did he say effing?
No.
He wanted to. Yeah, he almost did.
Oh,
he almost
wow.
Let it slip.
Yeah.
Up your spine.
Shivers, baby. Send them up, baby. So this is a guy, if you remember, Sean, during the wildfires, remember when that mom, as her house is burning down, goes up to him, and he's like, I'm trying to call Joe. I don't have service. I'm on the phone. This guy is a pathological phone liar.
Yeah, he's a liar. He said to the woman, I'm on the phone with the president. She said, can I hear it? He said, well, I can't get the call to go through. So are you on the phone or is the call not going through, right? I mean, you know, and I get it. You know, some people are like, oh, well, you know what he meant. I was like, no, I heard what he said. I know exactly what they talked about. Well, you know what we're going to do, right? I said, Gavin, if you don't get your sugar honey iced tea in order, we're deporting Shohei Ohtani.
Sure.
Okay? We're sending him back to Japan. We're sending him back. And now all of your baseball, right? Your Dodgers, the Los Angeles Dodgers, they're going to suck again. It's going to be terrible, right? They're going to be so bad.
It's true.
You're going to lose Shohei. You're going to lose all your business. You're going to lose the only reason people come to California is Shohei Ohtani. We're going to deport him to Japan. And we're going to put a tariff on him if he comes back. We're going to put a tariff on every home run and stolen base, by the way, too.
Tariff Ohtani. That's what it was. Yeah.
Let's go down to Anna's great state of Florida, shall we, where Ron DeSantis.
My boy.
Mm, I love that
Mustard.
Guy. Love that state. Love everything about that damn place.
Florida is where woke goes to die.
He's so awkward, but you gotta love him.
He's great for the board.
He's trying his best.
Yeah.
He might not get into the Oval Office, but he'll always be on my board.
So if if there's protesters or there's mobs around your car in Florida, you can run them the hell over.
Good.
Amen.
I love this
Amen.
Law.
Let it eat.
This is DeSantis on with on the Rubin Report discussing this. Roll this.
And we also have a policy that if you're driving on one of those streets and a mob comes and surrounds your vehicle and threatens you, you have a right to flee for your safety. And so if you drive off and you hit one of these people, that's their fault for impinging on you. You don't have to sit there and just be a sitting duck and let the mob grab you out of your car and drag you through the streets. You have a right to defend yourself in Florida.
Wow. Mustard. Mm. Mustard.
I have a question.
Good for him.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
And I don't want the, I agree with everything Ron DeSantis said.
Yeah.
But why does he sound gayer than Dave Rubin?
Well, it's funny you bring up Rubin because I was going to say, he's in that middle purgatory of facial hair again. He's like kind of committed to the beard, but he really isn't. It's the stalker shade where it's like, what are you trying to achieve here? Are you going for it or are you just a little lazy the last 5 days? Right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. DeSantis, his little bobblehead thing, like the bobblehead is my favorite DeSantis move. It's the bobblehead and then he has his finger and he waves it around. The man is very sassy.
Yeah.
I love the job that he does as governor, though. I do
he
love
does.
The job.
Yeah.
And that rule about running over protests, I think that was a 2020 special from DeSantis. That's been in place in Florida for a while.
Oh, and really?
I remember,
it should be.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so, because after the George Floyd thing, I think that was like one of his breakout moments. Was like, yeah, you can run them over if they're in the road.
Oh, I know. I wasn't
great.
Planning
We're
on...
We're one step away from feeding them to an alligator. This is great.
I wasn't planning on going to downtown Tampa to, you know, avoid the protest, but now I might. I don't know if I get a green light to mow people down like Caitlyn Jenner. It's going to be a good time.
Hey, let me ask you.
It's like fishing. Yeah. Like, if you get one on the line under your hood, you can just... Bam! Start taking them out.
Yeah.
Hummel, how close are you to Tallahassee, where DeSantis' office is?
Maybe like 4 hours.
4 hours? Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so it's not super close.
Gotcha.
But Tampa, only 30 minutes away.
Right.
So. By the way, Nick, play the, because I want to play, we've been sitting on this for a couple of weeks now. Our buddy Newman Price has set in different mustard.
Oh, yes.
Drops.
You have them.
Do you play the master of or the mustard of puppets.
All right, let's first go with the original mustard. So here's this one.
Mustard.
And then, of course, we have the remix from Metallica.
Mustard. Mustard.
And now we have, this is I Just Called by Stevie Wonder. Oh, wait, hang on.
Mustard.
mustard.
I just called to say mustard.
Mustard for nothing.
Mustard.
Mustard in a bottle.
Mustard.
I like my mustard in a bottle, actually.
Mustard.
And, of course, Moni Moni.
Mustard.
Mustard. It's good work, Newman.
It's great. It's great, Newman.
So good.
Newman Price, thank you, my friend.
And the beautiful thing about mustard is this is the long-established Nick Cale rule. You can use any kind of mustard. You can buy brand mustard. You can buy Bobo generic mustard. All mustards are passable. Ketchup has to be Heinz. You can't go Bobo ketchup.
Yeah, I have to agree with that.
If it's not Heinz, it's nasty.
It is.
First of all,
it's gross.
First of all, you three are all adults. None of you should be eating ketchup.
Correct.
It's not bad take.
It's a children's condiment.
Mustard is for adults.
Can't have mustard on eggs. That's disgusting.
No. Not mustard on eggs. I'm just saying, like, put a little pepper.
You gotta do ketchup on eggs.
Yeah, a little pepper, maybe a little hot sauce. That's
hot
it.
Hot sauce, yeah.
A little hot sauce. Ketchup is...
You know what the best ketchup was? Was the green ketchup back in the day.
Yeah, you remember that?
You know, I do remember that. It was so cool. You could put it on the burger. It was green. You thought you were eating an alien. It was so cool.
Let's go to Nick's favorite senator, John Kennedy, talking about Gavin Newsom. And the riots and the protests. This is cut two, Phil.
Hopefully the mayor and the governor will get control of this situation and the federal government can leave. I'm interested in public safety. I'm not really interested in whether this helps Gavin Newsom become president or helps President Trump's poll numbers or any of that. I don't care about that.
I mean, briefly, Governor Gavin Newsom seems very aware of the political situation. Do you think he's handling this the right way?
I don't think he's handled it well. I think he dug up more snakes than he could kill. I think, and maybe this is unfair, but I can only tell you what I've seen. I think that the governor thought this was a chance to suck in the federal government, and then he could make an argument that the federal government was overreaching and see, we told you so. Trump was going to try to establish
you
military
think he was baiting
rule in America.
Donald Trump?
I do. Yeah, I do. And I think it backfired on him. I think he should have restored order first in our city with the help of the mayor. I think they underestimated how serious these goons were, and he lost control of it. And President Trump stepped in. The federal government stepped in. And I think that's what you're supposed to do. I think the good people in Los Angeles, all they care about is they just want it to stop. You know, stop burning cars and stop throwing rocks at people. Just stop it.
I'm not sure.
Just stop it.
Just stop it.
I love it.
I'm not sure if he
is.
I don't know if he's a ketchup on his eggs kind of guy, but I do know this.
I like omelets better than sex.
He does love his omelets, and that will always be on the board.
Damn good.
I love Kennedy.
Yeah, he's
great. One of my favorite moments, he said on Fox News was He said, President Biden's approval rating is lower than syphilis or something like that. I was like,
these people are about 10 exits past normal.
Here's my biggest concern with this, though, is when you have what we just had, we saw happen, Israel striking Iran, you know you're going to have these pro-Palestinian nut jobs again out marching from the river to the sea.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to see anti-Semitism. Then you have all the L.A. riots. You have these No Kings protests. I feel like George Clooney right now in the perfect storm where we have three different things are brewing and the United States is the ship right now and we're set out to sail directly into what might be a complete disaster. I would be stunned, Sean, if Monday morning comes and the lead story is not something in a negative light about what happened with safety and security in this country over this weekend.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about the No Kings, and now with the Israel and Iran thing, you're going to get, yeah, you're definitely, I think they're going to join forces. They were already the same people, but right. I think you're going to see a lot of, which optics-wise, you know, go ahead and do No Kings and all your protesting and fly the Palestinian flag. It's going to look great, right? You know, you go ahead and say that you don't like Donald Trump and you don't want him to act like a king. By the way, I've never seen a king get reversed by circuit district court judges, but you know, that's one thing. But you want to say Donald Trump shouldn't act like a king? I actually agree with that. I don't want the president of the United States to act like a king. It's the, you know, it's a constitutional republic. We're not a monarchy. But I don't think he is acting like a king. And if you're going to merge that with the Death to America crowd, it's certainly not going to be popular with the independents that you're going to look for support from in the midterms.
Yeah, kind of like I said before, I'm just praying for bad weather on fronts.
Hummel, do you have any vacancies at your house? Can we all flee to Florida or Tennessee for the weekend?
Yeah, why not? We can have a slumber party here where you're safe and you can run over people who are blocking traffic, which is super cool. But like Sean said, it just seems like it's not just that it seems. It is the case that all of these groups who are, you know, the BLM or anti-ICE or pro-Palestinian, they're just refurbished groups of their prior form.
Yeah.
So it's just really unfortunate that all these things are happening at once. But hopefully Monday morning comes and, not too much death and destruction in the streets.
Well, Anna reported in the news earlier that they're planning on sending ICE agents and, you know, the federal government here. They're coming to what? Virginia, New York.
In Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Chicago.
Chicago. So
Tom Homan's going to crash in my driveway tonight.
We are one of the cities that is on high alert, I guess, for this No Kings protest. Trump was asked about this yesterday. This is cut 14. Kind of along the lines of what Sean said earlier. Roll this.
Several No Kings protests planned across the country on Saturday as well. What are your thoughts on those?
What are they going? No Kings?
No Kings.
I don't feel like a king. I have to go through hell to get stuff approved. A king would say, I'm not going to get this. A king would have never had the California mandate to even be talking to him. He wouldn't have to call up Mike Johnson and Thune and say, fellas, you got to pull this off, and after years to get it done. No, we're not a king. We're not a king at all. Thank you very much.
He handled that perfectly.
So perfectly.
Funny. It's beautiful, so true, and it's so funny.
Yeah. It was. He crushed it like his beer league softball. It's just a beach ball right over the plate. He just mashed it. I don't think that shot landed yet. That cast is broken.
By the way, so what are we doing here with these? So, Sean, I saw you tweeted yesterday, and I kind of agree with it. So, illegal immigrants out, except for farmers. Is that?
Get me started.
Get him started. Is this? Look. You know, when I see takes from my contributors, I have to bring it up.
Get him started. Yep.
Because I want to get you started. So this is cut 17. Actually, let's start with. So this happened in Oxnard, California. These are ICE agents seen chasing illegal aliens from a produce farm, like a farm area or a field. You can tell we're farmers here. You know, one of the farm areas.
Yeah, where they farm? And they sound like Joe Biden. Yeah. You know? Well, they're farming in field.
Tractors and dirt.
This audio and video is courtesy of ABC 7. Roll this.
Because we had a chance to talk to
ICE
agents arrived this morning here.
They're playing
right
tag.
Around
6 o'clock in the morning. We don't know how many people were detained. One of the farm workers we spoke said ICE talked to said ICE agents were chasing some of their co-workers around until they were detained. One of the workers described what he saw when they arrived to work this morning, and another one was talking about just the anxiety that how it is coming to work, not knowing if in fact Ventura County was going to be a target again for ICE agents. The sentiment here was they couldn't believe what they were seeing, but then again, they thought, not surprised that ICE agents were here. Now, in a statement released earlier
there you go.
Today.
So,
God forbid you show up to work with a little anxiety. Try working in radio, a-hole.
All right, so they were arresting farm workers. I guess. Trump yesterday says that an executive order is potentially coming, allowing some illegal immigrants to stay in the country so farmers don't run out of workers. Roll this.
Peter.
Thank you, President Trump. I have two. First, on immigration. What made you change your mind about targeting in California farmers and people in the hotel and leisure business?
Well, we're not targeting. In fact, if you look today, I put out a statement today about farmers. Our farmers are being hurt badly by, you know, they have very good workers. They've worked for them for 20 years. They're not citizens, but they've turned out to be, you know, great. And we're going to have to do something about that. We can't take farmers and take all their people and send them back because they don't have maybe what they're supposed to have, maybe not. And you know what's going to happen and what is happening? They get rid of some of the people because, you know, you go into a farm and you look and people don't, they've been there for 20, 25 years and they've worked great and the owner of the farm loves them and everything else. And then you're supposed to throw them out. And you know what happens? They end up hiring the people, the criminals that have come in, the murderers from prisons and everything else. So we're going to have an order on that pretty soon, I think. We can't do that to our farmers and leisure, too, hotels. We're going to have to use a lot of common sense on that.
Sean, your thoughts on the whole farmer situation? I think Greg wanted to wind you up a little bit.
Yeah, no. Look, I'm not saying that we don't want to take out the worst first, right? Like, by all means, let's triage it, okay, and get rid of the gang members and the violent criminals and the drug dealers and all this human smugglers and whatnot, right? Like, I'm not saying we don't prioritize that group first. I'm not saying, hey, let's do mass deportations and start on the farms, right? That's not what I'm saying at all. But if Donald Trump is going to make an exception for illegal aliens because they're working on a farm or they're working in a hotel or they're working in hospitality, what he's doing is he's creating two exceptions. A, you can come here legally as long you can come here illegally. As long as you wind up picking food, you're good. You can stay, right?
Yep.
Which I think is patently ridiculous.
Yep,
but even worse than that is the employers now. Where does this stop, right? Well, we're going to lose our people. Okay, hire an American and give an American a living wage. Well, that's going to increase the cost of living. That's going to increase how much, you know, those goods and everything costs. All right, well, then you know what? Maybe that's what this market needs. Maybe we need to maybe that's where the left will get their wage increases from. If Americans who are being paid whatever their minimum wage is can't afford food because illegals are picking it, so the food stays quote unquote cheap, and it's not cheap as it is. I don't want to be cutting out and carving out exceptions for employers to say, all right, if you have illegals and you're breaking the law and hiring illegals, you could continue to do that because you told me it's going to be hard to replace them. No. How about what happened to make American, buy American, hire American?
Right.
Now it's like unless – no, this is nonsense. I did not vote for that.
What also happened to as far as the prosecution of these employers, right?
Exactly.
You're either failing to vet these people properly or you're trying to hide the fact that you know they're illegal, but you're going to save a few bucks. Attack the people – legally through the court process that are encouraging this and breaking the law.
Yeah, I did not vote for mass deportations. I didn't see the asterisk when he said mass deportations, except farms and hospitalities and hotels, right? So, and I'll tell you what, there are a lot of people out there whose lips are surgically attached to Donald Trump's rump, and it's annoying me because they know it's bad. They know that is not a nice thing to see. What did Donald Trump say in that speech, in that press conference?
He used the exact same talking points as that insane pastor and as Jerry freaking Nadler when he said, it's essentially, if we deport the illegals, who's going to pick the food? That's what he said.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. It wasn't okay when Nadler said it. It can't be okay when our guy says it. And that's not what we voted for.
Well, what's also super annoying, though. That. Yeah, it should be. And what's annoying to me about this is the fact that you have people. Well, they've been here for 20 or 25 years, so it doesn't matter if you've been here since 2000 and
you're here illegally, you broke the law.
That's like saying, "Well, I killed somebody in 2000. I've been on the run. It's been 25 years, so." You still
there's no statute
broke the
of limitations
law.
On this, buddy.
Well said, Anna. Thank you.
It's
ridiculous.
Yeah,
he's obviously throwing a bone to the farmers that voted for him. But this, I feel like I always go back to the great quote by Thomas Sowell, which is, there are no solutions, there are only trade-offs. You know, you're never going to just solve poverty or solve every problem. You're going to have trade-offs. And like Sean said, yeah, our goods and produce and crops going to go up probably, but that's for the good of the American economy and to pay Americans a living wage that they deserve.
Yep. I agree. Yep. Alex Padilla, Senator Alex Padilla. Let's get back to him for a second. We did him in the 6 o'clock hour. Phil, do you have, I think it was one of your big take cuts. Do you have the fight that actually
Yeah, there's
happened?
Two of them.
Two of them. If you could play those two for me.
Yeah.
Senator Alex Padilla, I have questions for the Secretary.
I have questions.
Hi, I'm Alex.
Half a dozen stunning criminals that are rotating on your hands off.
Hands off. So then they take him out,
yep.
out of the press conference, and then you can put the other one up, Phil, where they take him down.
If you let my hands go, I'd put him behind my back.
And they put his hands behind his back.
Mm.
Oh.
Other hand.
Oh, I would love to do that to a senator. Oh, I'm fantasizing about it.
Whoa.
I did not know. No recording allowed.
The flip flops coming out of you, Nick.
No pedicures for Mr. Padilla this weekend.
So I play that just as kind of a backdrop here. Alex Padilla commented, this is a cut 13. He said, if this is how the administration responds to a. By the way, my take on this was earlier, Sean, Anna, was that this was a whole publicity stunt. He did this just to get, you know, notice. Now everybody today is talking about Alex.
We know who he is now.
Now we know who he is.
Yeah, 100%.
Thank you, Israel, for bombing Iran so we can forget about who Alex is.
Yeah. Of course, he gave a press conference after this. Roll this.
Mental rights. I was there peacefully. At one point, I had a question. And so I began to ask a question. I was almost immediately forcibly removed from the room. I was forced to the ground, and I was handcuffed. I was not arrested. I was not detained.
So what's the problem?
I will say this. If this is how this administration responds to a senator with a question, if this is how the Department of Homeland Security responds to a senator with a question, you can only imagine what they're doing to farm workers, day laborers out in the Los Angeles community and throughout California and throughout the country. We will hold this administration accountable.
Sean Farish, we pulled up the screen grabs of this guy's X feed over the last 4 years. Countless times he has tweeted, nobody is above the law. So let's just flip the verbiage around for Mr. Padilla. If this is how a United States senator is going to act, I have no respect for certain senators that behave in this fashion. I'm glad he was dealt with accordingly.
Yeah, and according to Bongino, deputy director of the FBI said the senator in question was not wearing a security pin and physically resisted law enforcement, which we saw. The FBI personnel acted completely appropriately while assisting Secret Service, and we are grateful for their professionalism and service. And if this guy wants to keep crying, I think it's time that we play a little 9 days. This is the story of a girl
who cried a river and drowned the whole world. I think that would be appropriate.
Circa 2000.
Yeah, only, I talk about a one-hit wonder.
I know.
This is talk the story about, of a girl.
I don't know a single song besides that, which that name of that song is Absolutely.
Absolutely, yes.
And then Story of a Girl in parentheses.
Guaranteed, but, Phil will not reference that at 9:50.
9 days. I don't know a single other song by them.
Maybe Nine Inch Nails. Whatever happened to Nine Inch Nails?
All the Phil timers out there.
Huh. Trent Reznor. I knew him very well, by the way. I have 10 inch nails.
10 inch nails.
Hang on.
I knew he was looking for this.
Yes.
Now we're going to get flagged for this awful song.
No, we're not going to get flagged.
Is this a song worthy of being flagged? Yeah, absolutely not.
This is not. We're not going to get flagged.
Come on.
Yeah. And they even look, like I'm playing the video here, they even look like early 2000s, mm-hmm. late 90s, early 2000s.
I think the song came out in 2000.
Hanson vibes.
Yeah.
I was 16.
Ugh.
Making out with girls in the back of a VW Jetta.
I got to say, though, like for all the great music that came out of the 90s, like there was also a lot of crap, too.
Oh, yeah. Here's a musical question for Greg, Phil, and all the diehard musicians out there, musical fans. Is the 90s the decade with the most one-hit wonders? I mean, I can't think of another decade that had more.
No, I think the 70s was the king of the one-hit wonder.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe that to be true.
The 90s may have been two-hit wonders.
Yes.
Yeah. You know?
So with this Alex Padilla thing, let's start actually with Christy Noem. She reacted to this. We played this earlier, Sean, but for you.
They better hope she doesn't treat him like a dog.
24.
Or a purse.
24.
Or a purse.
Question I have to ask you. Would you please address Senator Padilla's interruption to your press conference?
You know, I'm not...
Even pressing charges for what we just witnessed here.
Oh, you know what? I don't even know the senator. He did not request a meeting with me or to speak with me. So when I leave here, I'll have a conversation with him and visit and find out really what his concerns were. I think everybody in America would agree that that wasn't appropriate, that if you wanted to have a civil discussion, especially as a leader, a public official, that you would reach out and try to have a conversation. For instance, I have left voicemails for Governor Newsom wanting to have a conversation. Has he returned them? No.
No.
He hasn't. I know that the White House has reached out and had conversations with Mayor Bass as well. And so that's what you do to try to start these conversations and ask for partnerships. Unfortunately, we haven't met that in this area. I'll visit with the senator and find out really what his concerns are and what we can do.
By the way, we played a CNN analyst this morning, Sean, who basically said that, like, she absolutely did nothing wrong. They're trying to goat him into saying that, you know, this is authoritarian, but he basically said, I'm not going to play it again,
right.
Phil. But he basically said, like she didn't, you know, she had no call over, you know, having this guy removed. Right. That was all the security there.
This is how law enforcement would have acted in any other setting if somebody showed up unannounced and was behaving the way he was.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. No issue with it.
Let me grab this call because we were talking about the amnesty to farmers. Marianne in Doylestown is against Trump giving the amnesty to the farmers. Marianne, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Hi. Here's why. We have in the United States an agricultural workers visa. The reason why a lot of these farmers, I have to say, they've become profiteers of illegal immigration. And the reason why is because they want it cheaper for them to just hire illegal immigrants, often through these nefarious labor brokers who come in and bring people in specifically for some of the employers in the agricultural industry. But for example, if they do an H-2A and ask for those visas for temporary seasonal agricultural workers, they have to pay, for example, in California, over $19 an hour. They have to provide housing. The workers are here. They can access health insurance, and they're doing everything the right way. But the farmers and the businesses don't like to do that. Why? Because it's cheaper to just hire illegally and under the table.
Sure.
It also exploits the workers. Anybody gets hurt and they're not here legally, guess what? They end up at the emergency room, and they have to be treated for free on our dime. So I understand that the farmers are annoyed or upset about it, but I think this is the wrong approach.
Okay. Marianne, we appreciate the call.
I'm with it.
Yeah.
I'm with it. And I'll tell you this, again, I'm not saying that ICE raids should begin on farms. Like there should be an order of priority, and they should triage it, right? And so gangbangers, drug dealers, violent criminals, rapists, murderers, by all means, you go after those people first.
Sure.
Okay? But when you're done going after those people, or if one of those people are on a farm, like there was a story I reposted yesterday about an illegal alien who worked on a farm but also killed a girl, right? I mean, these aren't all angels who work on these farms, right?
Right.
You know, and it's not to say that any group of workers, there are people who, you know, work in any profession that are bad people, right? But you can't – this because my question is, okay – let's say you grant amnesty to these illegals on the farm, right? Or you show leeway, right? What is stopping the next industry, construction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Painting.
Landscaping.
Plumbing. Whatever it is. Landscape. Mm-hmm. From saying, well, what about us?
Yep.
Right. And now everybody gets this thing.
Right.
Right?
Well,
and now you've not, yeah. now it's over.
And what's frustrating about this is Tom Homan and everybody in ICE and DHS and Trump have said, we're going to start with the baddest people first. And work our way down. Now, if you're going to Pennsylvania or if you're going to Tennessee or whatever state you're going to, and you're rounding up, you know, MS-13 or cartel, drug dealers, whatever, and you're in that state and you've been told, 20 miles over in the next county, there's three different car washes or four different farms. Well, okay, we went there with the intention of getting the worst first. And oh, by the way, while we're here, why don't we swing on by and make these, quote, raids and round up these other people? You can do two things at once. It's not like they stopped just because they rounded up 500,000 and deported 139,000 of the worst doesn't mean that they've stopped doing that and are now targeting, quote, innocent civilians.
You know what I'd do if I was Trump? I wouldn't be granting no amnesty. I would say to these farmers, I'm going to give you guys, or these businesses that are hiring, I'm going to give you guys the option. We can either deport these guys or we can fine you. What would you like us to do?
Yeah.
And that's it.
Right.
Right.
Like
what would you like us to do?
Yep.
We can either deport them and we can forget that you ever did this.
Yep.
Right. And you can hire some Americans and give them a fair wage and put our people back to work. Or we could take you to court and we could throw fines at you and we could really disrupt. You know, you want to talk about your way of doing, but you could disrupt the whole thing.
Yeah.
What would you like us to do? They will sell those illegals down the river like this.
Oh, yes. You have 90 days to replace illegals with people that are citizens at a fair wage. I'll give you 3 months, 90 days. If not, we start finding you. Boom.
That's it. Every day.
One more on the Padilla thing, Senator. Actually, let's play for Sean, because I don't know if Sean saw this. Elizabeth Warren was very breathless over Senator Alex Padilla being detained. So she had to immediately get into her chauffeur-driven car and go onto her Instagram and film this video. Go.
When Senator Padilla had... pushed, shoved, thrown to the handcuffed because he is asking questions, because he is engaging.
I'll have what she's having.
In the very oversight that senators are supposed to engage in. Then what we're really talking about here is a Trump administration that just wants to shut down the ordinary functions of government. Look, I do a lot of oversight myself. I ask a lot of questions because that's how it works. In a democracy, we use our words to hold people accountable. We don't use our fists. We don't shove. We don't try to knock people down. Mm. We use our words. That's what oversight is all about. And that's what I want to go to the floor of the Senate to talk about. I think it is time for every senator, every member of Congress, Democrat or Republican, to stand up and say what Donald Trump has done is wrong.
I have a feeling we're going to be seeing a new Disney film called Pocahontas Has Her First Orgasm.
Oh, God. Jesus, man. People are trying to eat breakfast.
Everybody enjoying their cereal? thank you, Lizzie.
Not to be outdone, Senator Cory Booker took to the...
Oh, God.
He has a disease, by the way.
It's
called atrophoia. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
What is that?
One eye looking at you and one eye looking for you.
Hold on. That was a good one.
I didn't. No, do not. All right.
Letitia James has that too, by the way. Yeah. Sasquatch.
Yeah. These cockeyed. Yeah. It's very disturbing.
Yeah.
Get that. Odd. Get that stuff fixed if you can.
Yeah. Come on. You got good health.
Yeah. I was just gonna say. I mean, look at the size of him. He obviously eats well. Roll it.
And this son of Mexican immigrants
who
cleaned homes
Spartacus.
And served food, this man with equal dignity in this body, today was driven violently to
he
his
knees.
He is.
As if made to kneel before the authority of the executive.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, boy.
Because he was so-called disrespectful. That should offend the consciousness not just of the other 99 members of this body.
He's going to cry.
It should offend the conscience of this country.
Hasn't he spoken enough for the whole year?
I know. I was going to say, is he going to talk for another 28 hours?
Forcibly kneel before this executive. When
that was a Hitler
stop?
Salute.
Yep, that was.
He's a United States senator. And if you could force him to kneel to his knees violently,
I thought they liked taking
when
a knee.
Does it stop?
He looks like James Franklin.
What does it say to other Americans?
Kneel before General Zod.
Cory Booker knows a lot about kneeling. But he kneels on both knees.
What does it say to other Americans this weekend when they want to peacefully protest? What does it say to other Americans from humble backgrounds who know poverty that if a United States senator who stands up to do its job can be made to heal, driven to his knees, violently handcuffed? What does it say? What message does it send?
There we go.
You know what happens? This is the Cory Booker is the perfect example of when you don't have anything intelligent to say or credible or a policy or a position to stand on. What do? You get loud.
You just
yell.
Scream. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You put on a performance. That's all these people do. They have nothing that they can run on other than hatred against Donald Trump. That's it.
By the way, he's definitely running for president.
Yeah.
just saying.
No question.
It's not going to work out well.
Yep.
But there's no question that the however many hours that he fake filibustered in the Senate and then this and, you know, this all this just theater. That's what it is. It's performative. He's definitely going to try and run for president. And it's not going to work out well for him. But what a mess.
I know.
What a – just – The fact that people once took him seriously and was like, "Oh, he might be a problem." He's
no longer.
Okay. Yeah, when he was mayor, he was like a bipartisan type guy. You know what I mean? Like when he became senator, he was just like he became like this radical leftist. Yeah, I know.
In this game, right? Mm-hmm. Like he may have been a common sense guy at one point, but the party tells you what you have to do, right?
Yeah,
it's
right.
Just
yeah,
and now he is. Now he is what he is.
The sad part is, though, it's not a game because you have these people on the left that are mentally unstable that go
correct.
Above and beyond what Cory Booker's yelling about and then start throwing bricks, lighting cars on fire, trying to shoot a president from 130 yards away. Have some semblance of professional responsibility. And why don't you try to outmatch Republicans on policy instead of bitching and moaning 24/7? Because that's all they do.
Yeah.
That's all they do. All right, Bucks County Estate Traders, there'll be no bitching and moaning if you go looking for furniture because we all realize that we're tired of the cheap, mass-produced junk. That's why you got to talk to Bucks County Estate Traders. When you go in there in Hatfield, beautiful showroom, talk to my guy, Matt Stanella. He's the owner. He's the man who literally picks all of the pieces of furniture, over 16,000 pieces in a 58,000-square-foot showroom. Brands like Stickley, Baker, and Henrodon. And it doesn't matter your style. It doesn't matter your room. If you like classic, modern, rustic, traditional, you're doing the man cave, you're doing the living room, maybe you're doing an office for home so you could zoom it in and tube in. Bucks County Estate Traders, they have it all. And unlike the big box stores, they're going to give you something you love for every room in your house. And they're all up to date with all the technology. You go in with your phone, you scan the QR code, bang, you get all the details, including the price. If you want the furniture ready for delivery on the same day, go to their website, BucksCountyEstateTraders.com, or stop by their showroom in Hatfield and tell them Nick Kale sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched, no life unchanged.
experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.